You know, it's wise many times to seek counsel and to heed good advice when we are making decisions or choosing a direction. But sometimes, when we have been sure that God is leading us into something or God is showing us something, and then friends and family and people we really respect and love, they warn us against it, about the choice we're making or the direction we're going. And many times they may be right about some of the things they are saying. I mean, we see this in this passage. They were actually right about what was going to happen to Paul when he got to Jerusalem. They want to see us not in danger. So maybe that motivates their thinking, but also they've been praying and they that's what they feel. Well, Paul's example in facing these kind of questions and this kind of we have to say it's friendly opposition, but it's opposition nonetheless. And it helps us. It allows us to explore our own devotion. The quality of our own devotion to Christ, and to see how, and this is the principle I want to get across to us, obedient devotion to Christ overcomes what opposes it, no matter what that is. If we are obediently devoted to Jesus, then whatever tries to oppose us in that devotion, it will be overcome. Well, I'd like to start, first of all, with the idea of mixed messages. Mixed messages endanger sometimes, endanger our devotion to Christ, especially when they are holy voices, you know, that oppose our devotion's holy choices. I had to throw in that little rhyme. But it's true. It's true. That's a hardship because we are struggled. Paul, in this passage, I'm glad I had it all printed out here. Why are you breaking my heart? Because it's hard. He's torn, you know. He's torn between two. And Paul was sure of his guidance. And that's what this passage that I had for our meditational prelude, Acts 20:22. And now compelled by the Spirit. Not that I just want to go to Jerusalem. No, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Okay? But he did know the possibilities because the next verse says, but I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. They're waiting for me there, you know. And then as he gets to this place, and I have a hard time, it's after he was at Tyre, Ptolemais, I think it is. Anyway, he was at Ptolemais, and they had arrived there, and then this is verse 4. Finding the disciples there, we stayed with them for 7 days. For 7 days, he probably heard this, okay? For 7 days, through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Oh, through the Spirit. Now, that's just not through their spirit. Almost every translation, almost every Bible commentator, they say this is through the Spirit. They don't necessarily know how to explain it. But I have to say, both messages given by the Spirit were seeming to be mixed messages and seeming to be at cross purposes to one another. And what's it called? Rosemary, don't laugh, okay? What's it called when two truthful messages seem contradictory? What's it called? I'll give you a hint. The reason, the reason for disagreement in a medical diagnosis, a paradox. Did you get it? A paradox. Anyway, doctors do disagree. That's why you have differential diagnoses and things like that. But really, God uses paradoxes. He does. He uses paradoxes in Scripture. And I had an example, one that came to my mind was Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Listen to these two sentences. They're right next to each other for a reason. Two sentences. Here's what it says. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Wait a minute. They're right next to each other, and they say one thing says do it, and it says don't do it. And God meant for that to be there. They seem contradictory. That's the point. They seem contradictory, but both are true when God leads us to put them into practice in the context. And that's why it's so important for us to hear from the Lord, not just read His Word and say, I'm standing on what the Word of God says right here, you know. Well, I'm standing on another one. You're not supposed to talk to fools like that. You know, and you get in a big theological argument. But the point is, when those kinds of things come up, what are you saying, Lord? That applies in this situation, and I'll show you. Well, that applies in this situation, and I'll show you. And they both end up being true. Because they are true. They're true statements. So anyway, God uses these seemingly contradictory statements, these paradoxes. Bible commentators have tried, and I think they've tried in vain, because I read them and I thought, it sounds good, their explanation, but they still can't get around it. The Holy Spirit told them to say to Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And he was hearing the Lord say to him, and he was remembering what he said, you know, that I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem. I'm compelled to go to Jerusalem. And here's the bottom line. This is something that really struck out to me. Paul heard what they said. And the bottom line is that Paul's confidence in his original guidance, his confidence in his original guidance was being confirmed. What was being confirmed? That in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me. He warns me. They were warning him. No, he warns me that what? That you're going to face prison and hardships. You know? They're facing you. Well, that's just what the Lord told me. So what they're telling me is, yes, it must be the Spirit. It was a confirmation. So yes, the Holy Spirit says I'm going to suffer in different cities. Well, and He compelled me to go to Jerusalem. So I'm on my way. You know, I have to tell this story. In becoming an RN, I prayed a lot. I prayed. I had all these criteria. The Lord showed me that the criteria were being met, and I had no idea that I was going to be a nurse. I had no thought, no forethought of I want to be a nurse. I never wanted to be a nurse, ever. I mean, it just never came to my mind until the Lord just one day said, wow, they meet all the criteria that I've prayed about. So, Lord, I need to think about this. And I woke up the next morning, and I just had the peace of God in my heart. I'm supposed to go to nursing school. So I was going to obey God's leading, but I had all of these family members and friends and say, oh, David, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go into nursing. We've been praying for you to go in the ministry, or we've been praying for you to do, you would be a great salesman. Oh, yeah. And there was a whole bunch of people had all kinds of ideas what I should be doing. And they were my friends and they were my family and I loved them and I respected them. And they prayed about different things. But it was like I just had to stand with what God had showed me, and I just did it. I went to nursing school. And then it took years, but every one of those voices said, We know that that was the path that God had for you. So I did get the confirmation years later. But what if I had disobeyed? I mean, I know, I feel like sometimes I need to write a book of all the things that God did through me in nursing, because it was just amazing. I worked at ER for a long time, and for 10 years almost, and then labor and delivery, and so many stories of God's intervention in my life while I was a nurse. What would have happened if I didn't do what he said? So it's so important. When we get mixed message that it's in danger our devotion, how do we overcome that? With obedient devotion. It overcomes the opposition. And then there's suffering. Suffering encircles our devotion to Christ. It's all around us. Paul had this confirmed, that he had it confirmed in Caesarea. There was this prophet that came named Agabus in verse 11, and it's in your passage there. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." This prophet Agabus, back in, I think, way back in the book of Acts, he had prophesied that there would be a great famine in Jerusalem. And it happened. He was a real true prophet. He really did have the Holy Spirit. He was listening to the Holy Spirit. So this was another confirmation to Paul. This was another confirmation. Now, Paul had been a persecutor of the church when his name was Saul, before he became Paul. By conversion, then his name was changed. He'd been a persecutor of the church, and so he knew what he was getting into when he said, "I'm going to devote my life to Christ, to follow Jesus." You know, he knew. And he also knew what Jesus had said. He knew the teachings of Jesus. He knew what Jesus had said. In John 15:20, Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." Did Christ get persecuted? They crucified him. Will they crucify us? Maybe some of us. And we have to say, some of our brothers and sisters in these lands that don't have the kind of freedom we do are suffering terribly. In fact, this is not a new statistic. This is an old statistic that in the 20th century, that's last century, in the 20th century, there were more martyrs than all the centuries previous put together. That is so, so eye-opening. And we don't see it because we're in this country where we have such freedom. Well, Paul himself knew this is true. Circling our devotion to Christ is suffering all around us. And so he taught this. He said in 2 Timothy 3:12, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." That's pretty across the board. Now, what did Paul do then with this prophecy that came from Agabus? You know, and this was a confirmation that he was going to suffer. So what did he do with it? And we see in verse 12 and 13, "When we heard this," this is Luke talking because Luke is writing this, "when we heard this, we and the people were pleaded with Paul." We pleaded. This is Luke who wrote the book of Acts. "We asked Paul, don't go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? Trying to tear me between these mixed messages, you know. I know they're suffering. I know they're suffering. And I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." You know, our suffering, as I said, in this country, our suffering is rarely more than a severe frown. Somebody gives, or an insult. They say something and they call us a name or something like that. There are people who have lost their lives in this country for their faith. But we usually don't see it very much. Well, the question of not just Paul's example, but all our brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering, losing their homes, losing their health, losing their lives sometimes, being separated from their families, all of the things that go along with persecution, and Paul's example of devoted obedience, or obedient devotion, doesn't matter how you state it, the idea is that we are devoted obediently. We just are totally turned over to God. That raises a question to us. Are we willing to suffer physically and socially for the name of the Lord Jesus? That's what Paul said. I'm doing this for the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, we have to think about that question. We have to ask ourselves, is our depth of devotion to Christ of such an obedient quality that it will overcome whatever opposes it? Whatever comes against our devotion, can we overcome it with the kind of devotion we have? Is our obedient devotion of that nature? And if not, if we check our heart out and it's not that way, then we look again at Paul and we can learn the secret that Paul had so that we can say, yes, I believe I will overcome all obstacles. So what is it in Paul's life, that his secret of his devotion? And it's this, I believe, and it's the next and the last part. God's guidance. God's guidance engenders our devotion to Christ. It's God's voice. It's God speaking. And it can come through Scripture. It can come because we're listening to a sermon and God, you need to go forward and confess your sin and get saved. That's how it came to me when I was. But that's what it is. And like Paul, every believer needs a personal encounter with Christ, a real encounter with Christ. Paul was in chains after he got arrested in Jerusalem. He was in chains and he was talking to King Agrippa about his encountering Christ on the road to Damascus when he was on his way to persecute Christians. And it says in Acts 26:14, here's what he said. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? I'm going to ask a question. In the King James Version, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? That's what it says in the King James Version. But what it's talking about is a goad, that you goad oxen, keep them going, all right? I, for years, did not understand that until I read Adam Clark's commentary on this thing of kicking against. Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? Jesus was quoting a very, very common phrase used in Greek literature and plays like Euripides and all these people. They used this phrase, kicking against the goads. And what it meant was rebelling against the gods, fighting against the will of the gods or the will of heaven. And that's what Paul was doing. Why are you persecuting me? And he put it in language that was Greek literature, which Saul of Tarsus had learned when he was in the university or the educational institution at Tarsus. And there was one. There was a great... And he went to there. And that's why he could quote some of these people that were Greek playwrights. And he does in the book of Acts. Jesus was quoting to him. And guess what? When he quoted it to King Agrippa, Agrippa knew it too. He knew what that meant. Are you fighting God, King Agrippa? Are you rebelling against God? You know? So that was really, really amazing. That's a side issue. But the point is, it turned Paul's life around, that encounter with Christ. And I think we each need that. We each need a personal encounter. That may be, I've always believed what the scriptures say, and I got baptized and that kind of thing, but have we really come face to face with Christ so that He is just so personal with us? I have to say this. You know, I was 9 years old when I accepted the Lord. I went forward in one of those things. I think God was speaking to me. And I got baptized and I read my Bible. I went through some struggles. But when I was about 15 or 16, I was lying on my bed one day, just looking up at the ceiling and thinking about God. And suddenly, I had this encounter with Jesus. It was like, I really love you. And I said, I really love you too, Lord. It was like, that's all it was. But let me tell you, it changed my life. I think we all need that kind of, not just once, but again and again and again in our lives, those kinds of encounters with Jesus. And then our devotion will be so obedient that it'll fight against any opposition that comes up against it. Well, I have to tell you, the rest of his life, Paul spent the rest of his life devoted to obeying Christ and obeying his guidance. It was a lifelong listening. And I think that's what we have to have. It's a lifelong listening for his voice. And let me tell you, it's not just in Scripture. That's where I get it most of the time. But sometimes I'm out in nature and God just speaks. Or I'm reading secular poetry. And all of a sudden, the way the two words came together, or the two phrases came together, jump out at me. And it's like God speaking and giving me guidance. It's the way to live. That's what I say. If we have that kind of devotion to Christ, it will overcome all that opposes that kind of devotion. It'll overcome our opposition. If we spend our lives like Paul did, listening to and obeying the Lord when he says, follow me. And what do I mean when the Lord says, follow me? I'm thinking this way. We are in a situation and the Lord says, go over there. I'm going over there. You follow me over there. And we need to talk to that person. And you give your testimony to them. I'm scared a little bit of what they might think. Follow me. And that's where our devotion will help us, to follow him. It's good to listen. It's good to listen to good advice and you know, consider people, you know, what do you think about this decision I'm making? It's good to have advice from a lot of counselors. There's scriptures on that. But if it opposes God's word, or it opposes God's personal word to us, and we're sure of it, and we have not only his word, but we have the peace of God that comes when he's telling and showing us things. When we have that, then we have to go with what Jesus told us. We have to resist that opposition. And we already know that obedience is going to cause us suffering. We may suffer socially, may even suffer physically. And we know for no other reason we're going to have suffering because there's an enemy out there that likes to oppose or wants to oppose us. It's Satan and his demon hosts want to oppose us when we try to obey God. So never let suffering or persecution turn you aside from obeying God's leading in your life. And then this last to close. Always remember what Jesus said. As you're listening for Jesus' voice, remember what he said to us in John 16:33. And I'm not going to read it. I'm going to sing it as a closing. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Father God, thank you for this testimony that's recorded in the book of Acts. Not a lot of deep spiritual truth being taught in these verses, but just an example of Paul's life and his dedication to be obediently devoted to you. Lord, help us to follow in his steps by following in Jesus' steps. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.